I like to see young people sing.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. And I like to see them sing good songs.
Amen.
Amen. Open your Bibles, if you would. Psalms chapter number 85. Psalms chapter number 85. The psalmist is writing this psalm to the sons of Korah. Many of you remember Korah. Korah withstood Moses, and the earth opened up, swallowed him, some others up. And you know, the thing I get out of this is I think about God and God's grace. And even though Korah ended up, and if this was the same Korah, I don't know, but if it was, then you look and you think of God's grace wanting to send revival to the land. And of course, the sons of Korah, they would sing this song. And what he's talking about here, he's talking about sending revival to the land. Begin reading with me, if you would, in verse number 1, chapter 85. Keep your Bible open in the book of Psalms. We're going to go to a few places tonight. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin, Salah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God, of our salvation. Cause thy anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thy anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? I want to preach tonight upon this thought. Now, I want you to pay attention just a few moments. The greatest need in our land today is revival. If we don't see a revival in this land's a mess. I was thinking today, imagine this. Imagine come November, all this liberal crowd wins the House, wins the Senate, wins the presidency. Then they begin to place on the court. And you know, they have no problem about persecuting anyone who disagrees with them. I don't know how many of you saw the man and his wife in St. Louis. They busted down the gate in the gated subdivision they lived, come into their subdivision, intruded on their yards, a whole mob of them, and they come out their house with guns. Now they want to prosecute the man and his wife. All I say is they should be glad they weren't in Kentucky. They might not have fostered as well. But the point being is this. Can you imagine if this liberal bunch, and by the way, it's not beyond imagination. It's just a few votes away. And people are so ridiculously silly, and they have such small priorities on what dictates their vote, that they could destroy this country. And you give that bunch 4 years and they'd give this country away to the world. And maybe that's what God's going to do with it. I don't know. But I know this. This pandemic did not come by mistake. But it's ridiculous the way everybody's responded to it. You know, I was just talking to Brother Mills there. And he's got some procedures that needs to be done, and they need to be done. They put it off, but listen, These people that's being put off for cancer treatment and this treatment and that treatment and other treatment, listen, that's just as important to them as some of this other stuff. It's ridiculous. And funny thing is, they can work hard to open the horse tracks up, the liquor stores up, all that kind of stuff up. But what they're doing is, they're calling good evil and evil good. And they're allowing evil to triumph. And of course, the mayor up there in Seattle got to see that her little city of love didn't work out so well. And so when they started invading her house, then she wanted to do something about it. She's okay as long as they're beating up on everybody else. But this country is a mess. And sin is the root of cause. Our cities and our land is full of people dead in trespasses and sin. And so if we don't wake up with this ungodliness flooding our land, it's just a generation or just a vote away from destroying this country for our children. It's amazing. But what we need to understand is, we need to understand the hope for America doesn't come with these protesters getting their way, doesn't even come with people electing the right people to positions. It comes with the churches turning back to God, finding revival. We need revival. I've never seen a time when churches have been so affected by anything like they've just been affected by all this. They put a dead spirit upon our churches. And we've got where people seem to be afraid of doing anything. And most churches have been lured to be spiritually asleep during this process. And therefore, they don't realize this consistent lack of obedience unto God, the will of God, is the underlying cause of what's destroying our land. We have lost our salt. We have lost our light. We have lost our witness. We have lost our power. Complacency has come into the church. And we are self-satisfied with where we are. And yet we're not seeing anybody ever walk the aisles anymore. We're not seeing anybody on their face before God weeping and crying out on our altars anymore. Folks, we're going to have to wake up. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them from heaven. I will forgive their iniquity. I will heal their land. Somebody said, what's the answer to fix America? Churches having revivals and allowing God to come back. But you know, most churches are like Samson. They don't even know that the Spirit of God has left them and has departed. And they're sitting there thinking everything is just fine. And they'll hear a message like this one tonight and wonder, what in the world is that guy talking about? But as Christians, we must realize the problem's not with everybody else's sin, it's with ours. It's got to start with us. Our own sin, that's where revival starts, is in buildings like this. We need a visitation from God. Look, if you would, in Psalms chapter 119. There's some things that have happened since this virus has taken over. One is, look, if you would, in verse 37. Says Psalms 119. Just stay there for a moment. In verse number 37, he says, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Our eyes has been distracted. We have quit looking and seeing what was important. Where there is no vision, people And people are perishing.
Yes, they are.
And therefore, what we need to understand is our eyes have been so distracted. We are so distracted with this virus. We are so distracted. As a matter of fact, some churches still are not having church. They're using every excuse in the world not to get together. It's amazing. We have been so distracted by all this. And I'll tell you, it's a dangerous thing when we are so distracted that we can't even come into the house of God. Our eyes. And by the way, if we're not looking to Him, I guarantee you the world's not looking to a Savior that can save them.
Amen.
Looking to be all ye lambs, and be ye saved. For I am God, there is none else. How are we going to get them to look when we won't look?
Right.
Our eyes are distracted. Not only that, look if you would in Psalms 119. Look if you would on 107. He said, I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. Our hearts has been discouraged. You know what the word discouraged means? It means we've lost courage. We no longer have any courage. We can't make a stand anymore. We won't make a stand hardly about nothing. Everybody wants to run and hide. And I tell you what, this bunch that's running loose, looting, robbing, beating and all that, making a big noise and everybody bowing down to them, they're finding out that they just want more and more and more, and they're never going to be satisfied.
Amen.
And what we've done is we've got discouraged. We forgot, we've gotten dissatisfied with the blessings of the past. And we quit being thankful to God for what He's done for us.
Yes.
We're kind of like old Sodom. We're so full of pride, fullness of bread, abundance of idleness, that we're not thankful for what God's done to this country. Now I tell you what, it really gets under my skin to see people rising up and wanting to take these statues down of men that they were much greater men than any of those that even dared to take those statues down. But look here, they may have had some flaws, but all of us do. Amen? But who made you judge that you stand up and do something like that? But what happened is, not only has our eyes been distracted, our hearts has been discouraged.
Yeah.
Not only that, but also our joy has been diminished. That's why he says that we are to rejoice. David said in Psalms 51 that he'd lost the joy of his salvation. You see, disobedience, distractions, disillusions, discouragement, all those things rob us of joy. And when we looked around, it's hard to find people having joy in the house of God anymore. We ought to be able to have joy. I mean, how many of you would stop and say, I've been blessed? Has God not been good to you? Man, if you don't think God's good to you, you ought to take a trip to some of these other countries. You go over these other countries, you'll come back with a different attitude. And joy is a characteristic of of someone who communes with God. Also, because our work has been disrupted. Look, if you would, in Psalms 139. In Psalms 139, David said, in verse number 23, he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. Our work has been disrupted. We quit trying to win people, Lord. This pandemic has got people got it where people won't even open the door, let you talk to them. Where people and what's happened is this. We've thought that we just take a vacation on soul winning. People are still dying and going to hell.
Yep.
Still dying and going to hell. You know what my thoughts was? All these people that's been killed during all these riots and stuff, I wonder how many of them was lost. One soul? Somebody said, do you care about black lives? I care about black souls. Red souls, yellow souls, white souls. Because when someone dies without Christ, they can't come back. They can't reverse it. Forever in hell they'll be. And what's happened, we've allowed this disruption to disrupt our work. We've got out of doing the things that we were doing as a church. But you know, to be honest with you, and we're guilty of it here too, we kind of got in a little slumber as a church. Now, I don't know about you, but this thing has awakened me to the importance of the church. Not that I didn't know the importance of church, but what I found out when I couldn't come, I found out how much I love the church. And how much I miss the church. And how much I hated to see what happened. And so therefore, revival is when we personally get right with God. And we've left our first love. Now, when do we need revival? Now, listen a minute. And by the way, a victorious Christian needs revival again and again and again and again and again and again. Sometimes we sit there and we think, well, boy, I don't want to show I need revival because I'm afraid what somebody think of me. Listen, anyone who's a victorious Christian has to be revived over and over and over and over and over. That's why David said, revive us again, O Lord, because we need revived again. Now, you know, you can't walk this old earth. The priests, they would do the work of God, and they'd have to stop every time they passed by the laver and wash your hands and feet because it was contaminated by the world. Even though they was doing the work for God, they got contaminated. And friends, we get contaminated just in this old world doing the best that we can do. And we still find ourselves getting disillusioned. We find ourselves getting discouraged. We find ourselves getting disrupted. Now, answer these questions. Listen real quick, careful. I don't know who wrote these, but I copied a few of them down. There was more. Do you love the Lord like you once did? If not, you need revival. Is your interest all in earthly things instead of eternal things? Do you not find any trouble watching TV, but you find trouble trying to read a Bible? Do you have little or no desire to pray when you're away from here? Can you go to Kroger's and Walmart, but you can't come to church? Your Christianity, have you lost your joy? Do you have any passion? How about truth? Is it all in your head and not in your practice? How about efforts to witness the lost people? When's the last time you tried to witness to a lost person? How about church service? Are we comfortable with business as usual? Do we want something more? Are we hungry? Are you missing the power of God? Are you missing the presence of God? How about believers at odds with one another? I've never understood how churches can be fussing and fighting with each other. I just never have understood that. The Bible don't teach any such thing. And by the way, it teaches that if you're part of it and you're the partakers of those things, then you're babes in Christ if you're saved. You're suffering from following the flesh, not the spirit. How about your singing? When you sing, is it half-hearted? How many of you tonight when we sung, did you think of the unclouded day?
How many of you thought about nowhere else to go but the Lord? Where can I go? Have we quit singing from our heart? If so, guess what? Need revival. How about prayers lacking fervency? My dad, I'll never forget, my dad used to talk about, he pastored for close to 50 years, and he said when he first started pastoring, their revivals would last anywhere from 2, 3, 4 weeks. He said the first week or two, he said you couldn't hardly, during invitation, people couldn't hear you for all the parents crying and weeping, calling their children's names out on the altar that God would save their children. And said before a couple weeks, next thing you know, they'd be walking down the aisle and there'd be 20 and 30 and 40 of them get saved because they were fervent in their prayers. The prayers of a righteous man availeth much. The fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Hearts are cold. Eyes are dry. When's the last time you wept? No power in God in our services. We're gearing our worship more toward the world to attract it than to attract God. We're not exercising any faith. We're trusting in our own abilities. Trusting in the government to have all the answers. Folks, we serve a big God. We don't have to live this life in fear. We have faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. We are to live by faith. Walk by faith. Serve God. We have to exercise our faith. God wants us to trust in Him. Perfect peace has he whose mind is stayed upon thee, because he trusteth in the Lord. More concerned with what people thinks than what God thinks. Not moved by loss in family and neighbors. Not even concerned with their own heart. I read all those to ask you this question. Are you in need of revival? Does any of those hit you? How many of them? Without raising your hand, how many of you would say, "Preacher, I just about put a check on every one of them"? Look back in your Bibles, Psalms chapter 85. Notice in verse 6, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" You know, the wonderful thing about God is this. He stands ready to revive us at all times. Yes. It's not God that's hindering revival. It's us. And by the way, it's not those marching down these cities. It's the church. God's people. Look, if you would, again, verse 6, wilt. We need to discern there's a need. Revival is personal. Not others, but you. Do you need revival? Wilt thou revive us again? Second of all, you need to know what direction to look to for your help. David said in Psalms 121 that we looked into the hills, which cometh our help. You got to know where to look for revival. There's one way getting God's attention. God dwells in the high, lofty places of heaven and among the humble, contrite heart. Listen, God gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud. You want to get grace? It runs down here. If you don't get down here, you'll never get the grace. You know, Paul said that he had a thorn in the flesh. Prayed three times that God would remove it. But you know what happened? He said, when I became weak, then I was strong. He got down here and he found grace. And he said, thy grace is sufficient. God wants us to get down where we know who to look to for our revival.
Amen.
Folks, listen to me. David was praying that God would revive their land again like he did in the past. He had so blessed their land. And yes, because they would sin, God would come and he'd chasten the people and there'd be things come in their life, but it would not only affect them, it would affect generations. And you know what? You know who we affect? If we don't have revival in our day right now,
Right back through there. Amen.
Those are the people's going to be affected.
Right.
And some of them, if we don't get revival and don't change the direction our churches are going, they grow up, they're not going to be sitting there. They're going to be finding entertainment. They're going to be finding other things. You know what attracts young people to church? When they see the power of God moving. And they get involved. I've seen times, and by the way, the youth, is so instrumental to the church. How many of you got saved when you were young? I've seen times when we've had revivals and we've seen 20, 25 people saved. I've seen times when we've had a service of a night. One Wednesday night, I saw 10 people saved. 10 people saved. You know the difference? People came with a heart wanting something from God. And we'd been praying. I've told this story before, but I can tell it because Doris sitting back there, it involved her son. He was lost and had never been saved, and he was going to graduate school. And he made the comment he's going to be the first one to graduate school that had never been saved. We were praying for him. We'd been meeting, and we'd not only prayed for him in church, we'd been meeting with each other at each other's house. I met with Gene, Brother Foster, and we'd go back in the woods or over somewhere, and we would get along and pray that God would save his soul. He's sitting right back there where Tim was. And that one night, we'd been praying and praying and praying, and boy, he was hard when you talked to him and wouldn't talk. And I prayed and started going to invitation. And when I raised my head, everybody in the entire church was on the altar praying.
Okay.
Except for one person. And I looked and tears running down his face and here come running down this aisle. He said, I need to be saved.
Yeah.
You know why? People had a hunger for God to do something. We better get that hunger back, folks. We need, our land needs revival. And it's got to start with us. So we've got to not only realize it's us where it starts, we got to realize where it comes from. And by the way, God doesn't play games. You mean business with God, he knows it. When you don't need mean business with God, he knows that as well. And you know what? It will affect generations, you children. Revive. Are you satisfied with your spiritual life? Are you satisfied with where you stand? Young people, older people, are you satisfied with where you are right now?
Listen. God will do it again. But what we need to be praying for is this. We need to pray for the humility of the believers. We need to pray for insight in the depths of sin. For obstacles that hinders revival. For a hunger for the word of God. Help to forgive those that's bordering bitterness and unforgiveness. We need to pray for those that may be lost church members. And we need to get a burden for lost people. I don't know about you, but I was watching just the news, and I tell you, brother, sister's right on this deal. You won't get depressed, flip the news over and watch it for a period of time. But listen to me. We better get an aching back for some revival. Because this land is in a mess. And there's only one person that can fix this land. That's Almighty God. And the only way to get him to fix it is when his people, which are called by his name, will humble themselves and pray and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways. And he'll hear. Let me ask you this tonight. And by the way, I just want to say this. You know, this being online is new, but Brother Greg, when it comes time for invitation, he shuts that off. I don't want anything to ever hinder an invitation. God moves upon your heart. I want you to come. Don't wait for somebody else to come. If God's speaking to you, it's for you to come. Let me ask you this. Would you like to see revival?
Yes.
It's got to start with you. Would you come tonight as we get a song, Brother Eric? Maybe you're here tonight and God's dealing with your heart. You need to come. Would you come and let him have his way tonight? Such desperate need for revival.